This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today on this Monday. Happy Monday to you. God bless you. Hope your day is off to a good start. Or if it's 5:30 and you're tuned into the rebroadcast, I thank you guys for spending 30 minutes of your Monday to join me as we together sit under the authority of the Word of God. You're going to hear now the very last sermon in this series in Romans that I've been preaching here for a couple months here at Island. I just started the book of Acts yesterday, as a matter of fact, and you'll hear that here coming up on the radio. You'll hear that, and we're in the middle of this series, Famous Chapters of the Bible. We'll get back into that as well. So those are some of the things you're hearing at the radio. These are all sermons that emanated from Island Community Church. This radio program, WGOD, is brought to you by the good people of Island Community Church. We are located at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. We meet Wednesday nights, 6 p.m., and Sunday mornings at 10:30, we will be in 1 Peter chapter 5 this coming Wednesday. We would love to see you for midweek service. Sunday mornings, we just started the book of Acts. We'll be there for a couple of months, I'm sure, as we go through 28 chapters in the book of Acts, the historical book of Acts. Okay, here we go on the radio now. This is called The Law of Liberty. We're in Romans chapter 14 today, and we're going to go all the way through to 15 and then wrap it up here in 16. You'll hear that tomorrow, a few verses here in chapter 16, where he warns us to watch out for people that cause divisions in the church. So, but that part of this sermon will play tomorrow. It's about a 40-minute sermon starting today as I'll wrap up on Tuesday. We'd love to see you on Wednesday. IslandCommunityChurch.net is our website. You'll find our statement of faith on there. There's no more important thing than to know what a pastor and what a church believes about the Lord Jesus Christ. So I encourage you, before you visit any church, go and check out their statement of faith. And you might really want to think twice about going to a church that is not upfront about what they believe about the Son of God. Okay, here we go. We're in Romans chapter 14, the law of liberty. This is a day where the iguanas just come falling out of the trees when it gets this cold. So, does everyone have a handout for today? If you need one of these, raise your hand. We'll make sure you get one. It's in the bulletin. If you are visiting here today, welcome to our visitors. Thanks for coming here this morning. Braving the cold, coming out of your house, even though it's only 28 degrees. You should have received in the bulletin a handout. It's got the book, chapter, and verse of everywhere where we're going to be here. If you need one, just raise your hand. It's ushers in the back. Make sure you... Okay. We're making good progress, too, with the raising the money for the food pantry. Is that correct, Gene?
Yes.
So we're pretty close to hitting that number that we were shooting for, $700 a month on a permanent basis to help to fund the food pantry. And we were over 500, aren't we?
Yes, we're up to 500.
All right, excellent. So there's still just $200 left to go if someone would like to help and step up and contribute to any portion of that. Certainly would be greatly appreciated. So, okay, so everyone's good to go. Everyone has a handout. Are we rolling, Carol? Okay. The kids are dismissed with Miss Carol today.
assume the position. Camera girl. We're rolling back there. Okay. Romans 14, that's where we're at here today. And the law of liberty. Let's pray before we get started.
Lord, we exalt you here today. Lord, we pray for Miss Carol now, and we pray for all the kids, young and old, that are going back there today to do an awesome work with them here this morning. As we remember things we've learned from years ago when we were in Sunday school, just pray the same thing for them here this morning. May your supernatural grace and power and strength be with all of them back there, and us as well, Lord. Speak to us through your word. Help us to be doers of your word today, not just hearers as well. We praise you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Okay, we're wrapping up our study in Romans today. These last 2 weeks, we've received many imperatives on how to live. Last week, we looked at obeying the government, if everyone remembers. We also looked at the exceptions to that rule. Now, I'm grateful for Pastor Darren. It reminded me after church that I left out the most important one of all with that list of when not to obey the government. And that is when the government tells you to take the mark of the beast in order to buy or sell. Certainly, we're not going to obey the government there, right? So we looked at, you know, when the government says, don't tell anyone about Jesus. That's when we, and then their answer to that is, we must obey God rather than men. And here's another one. When the last world time government tries to get you to take a mark in order to buy or sell, there's another time where we certainly don't. Now, today the Apostle Paul is going to address our liberties and the freedoms that we have as Christians. So this is the law of liberty. So let's pick it up where we left off in Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 11. Okay, it's not on the handout. The handout's got 14, some of 14, and the last few verses in 16. So I'm going to have to open up your Bibles for this. Here you go, Chase. Use the orange. Okay, here we go. Romans chapter 13, picking it up in verse 11. He says, and do this, knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. So Paul is saying, wake up, people. Look around, church. Look at all the infected people out here in the world today. This old world can't go on like this forever. These are the signs for you that you see out here in the world. Wake up. Now, Jesus says the same thing in the book of Revelation to one of the seven churches. He warned them, Revelation 3:2, he said, the New American Standard reads, wake up and strengthen those things that remain, which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds perfect in the sight of my God. So remember what you've received and heard and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you will not wake up, then I will come upon you like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come. Like I like to ask, what do thieves steal, church? Valuables. Now here the Apostle Paul is going to tell us the same thing and for the same reasons. He says, now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. We're one day closer to Jesus' return than we were yesterday. I'm sure going out on a limb on that one, right? Other translations, instead of wake up, use the terminology watch. Matthew 24:40. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. In other words, two women are going to be fixing supper. One will be taken, one will be left, that is, left behind. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. So that is, watch, therefore, because you don't know when this is going to happen. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what hour the thief was coming, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. That's for sure. That's the one thing I guarantee, and that is no one knows when Jesus is coming back. So it's high time to wake up. It's high time to ditch all the stuff that's got you into la-la land. Don't take any modern-day gall, but let all the evil in the world draw you closer to God, because Novocaine can't help you. All right, verse 12, Romans 13:12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, nor in lewdness and lust, nor in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Now there's some excellent clothes to wear, amen? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. This means we should adopt his whole lifestyle. Live as he lived. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So here's a good note I read regarding this, make no provision for the flesh. It says, we should make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. The flesh, or the reference to the flesh means our old corrupt nature, our old way of living before we became a Christian. This note continues. It incessantly cries to be pampered with comfort, luxury, illicit sexual indulgence, empty amusements, worldly pleasures, dissipation, materialism, amongst many other things. We make provision for the flesh when we buy things that are associated with temptation, when we make it easy for ourselves to sin, and when we give a higher priority to the physical than to the spiritual. Boy, I certainly didn't write that note. I mean, I know it's an unfortunate confession, but I'm probably as guilty of this sin as I am for breaking the first commandment of loving the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my mind. I mean, I try to, but sometimes I fail at that. And if I fail personally at that, then I have a decision. I have the decision I have to make. I can either, A, number one, I can either quit. Or B, I can repent of my sins and my failures and press on, right? That's all we can do, right? The Bible says a righteous man picks himself up seven times. I think we all fall short sometimes of this, monks notwithstanding. Now, if you guys remember last week, I gave you the address of where the local monastery was. If you wanted to chant and become chanters as monks, it's down in, what city was it in again? Bunnell, Florida. Up in Bunnell. Sorry, I get corrected by these crackers. Up in Bunnell. Heaven forbid I say West. What other choice do you have, right? I choose option two. How about you? Look, as we stay in the Word of God and as we continue to come to church and sit under the authority of the Word of God, he continues to work in us, on us, and through us, transforming us into the image of Christ. And then we get to the point where we don't want something anymore like we wanted it before. I mean, from anything. That can be for sin as well, like smoking cigarettes. I never quit smoking because someone got in my face and said, Esposito, you better quit smoking or else. Because I would not have responded very well to that. But the Holy Spirit does the work. He's transforming us daily into the image of Christ. The things that used to be acceptable for us are not acceptable anymore. So, Hebrews 10 tells us that he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. That's B-E-I-N-G. That's how you spell that, by the way. It's not one and done. It's a continual work. We're being transformed, the Bible says, from glory to glory into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now let's move on to chapter 14. Let's move on to this law of liberty. Now I'm going to be in the NIV Bible, just like your orange one over there. It's method to my madness, you see. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. It says, accept the one whose faith is weak. Without quarreling over disputable matters, amen to that, right? Shouldn't argue over silly things. So accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. Ah, now I get it. He's talking about food. He's talking about food. Okay? Let's understand that as we move on. You see, some people like me, though, just flat out don't like vegetables. But that doesn't make me any less or any better than you because I don't like them. All jokes aside, a strong believer eats what he wants. The weak believer has issues with eating certain things. Now that's lost on us here in the United States. Remember, Christianity was 25 years old when he wrote this. It's lost on us. Verse 3. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not eat everything. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. Because God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. In other words, he's okay in God's eyes. Why is he not okay in your eyes? Again, this is lost on us here in the United States, but perhaps not. Let's say I was a recovering alcoholic. And if a church served wine for communion, and I made the choice not to partake of that, then don't judge me for my choice. You don't know me. You don't know what I've been through. Don't judge me for not doing that. Don't pass judgment on me for not taking communion because you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But can't you just hear the gossip now? Psst. It always starts with a psst. Psst. Look at old Snagglepuss over there. Won't take communion. Oh, yeah. I wonder where he was last night. Right? Better be careful. He's saying, don't do that. You see, that's having wine is offensive to me. It could cause me to stumble, so don't judge someone that's not partaking of communion. That's the old Christian, look at him over there, won't take communion. Yeah, I wonder where they've been. He's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't pass judgment on someone else. The truth of the matter is, again, wine is offensive to this person, and it's too great of a temptation to them. You're free to choose as a Christian, is what he's trying to say. You are free to choose as a Christian. Don't judge a person for their personal choice, as long as those choices don't go against the Word of God. God's good with my choices. Why aren't you? Now, verse 5, still in the NIV. I'm still in the NIV. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind, meaning perhaps Saturday is more sacred to you. Perhaps Wednesday is. But don't lay any legalism on me and tell me that God insists that I honor the Sabbath on a Saturday only, or go to churches on a Saturday only, or their fellowship hall on a Saturday. Well, I won't even talk about Jehovah's Witnesses because they're not Christians. Or that I not lift a finger on a Saturday only, or change a light bulb on a Saturday only. Verse 6, whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. Whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. Verse 7, for none of us live for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and rose again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. So what's he trying to say here? He's trying to say that you are now free to live as Christians. You are now free to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, unencumbered by anything else and anybody else here in this world. You're free now to love your neighbor as much as you love the person in the mirror when you look in there every morning. Paul said you're no longer under the law now, but you're under grace. You are free. You're no longer, as a Christian, bound by the law, the Old Testament law. However, don't use your freedom to cause somebody else to stumble. And as we looked at earlier, make no provision for your old sin nature. One last point on this. Esteeming one day above another, it cannot contradict what the Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 10, where it says, do not forsake gathering together as a church family. So you can't hold it. Scripture does not contradict itself. You're free to esteem one day above another, but the commandment is for Christians not to forsake assembling together in God's house. Now let's move on, let's move down here to verse 14, and we'll talk a little more about food. Why is it everyone's waiting for me to drop the B word in here? I know what you people are thinking. I won't disappoint, I'm sure. Look at what he says. He says, I know, and I am convinced by the... Look at who convinced him. It wasn't me. He didn't read it in a commentary. Look what he says. I know and I'm convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. What a monumental statement this is. There is no food that's unclean anymore. But there's a but. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So it might be unclean to you, but it's not unclean to God. You got a problem with it? Hey, that's all right. But don't say that God's got a problem with it, because he doesn't. He's convinced, and he's convinced by the Lord Jesus, that there is no food unclean of itself. Speaks for itself, doesn't it? Here's the truth from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read this, Mark chapter 7, verse 14. Let me read it from my ESV translation. It says, and he called, that's Jesus, called all the people and said to them, hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him.
But the things that come out of a person are what defile him.
And when he had entered the house and he left the people, his disciples asked him about this parable. And he said to them, really? Are you without understanding? Don't you see that whatever goes into a person from outside of them cannot defile him? Since it enters not his heart, but into his stomach and is expelled. Then it says this. Thus, this is Mark 7:19. Thus he declared all foods clean. Now, I just gave you two verses to sock away in the margin of your Bible. Romans 4. For the next time some legalist knocks on your door and tells you you have to keep Torah and that you can't eat shellfish and that you can't eat pork, Romans 14:14, Mark 7:19, thus he declared all foods clean. You might have a problem with it, but don't say God has a problem with it, because he doesn't. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. From within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality. And see, there's plenty of stuff that defiles us here. But not a pulled pork platter. I got that written in my Bible. You know, when I die and they open up my Bible, and they're saying, what in blazes did that? Why did he write PPP there in Galatians chapter 2 when he argued with Peter? That stands for pulled pork platter. It is what it is. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person. So, again, write it down. Take it to the bank. Mark 7:19, thus he declares all foods clean. See, not pork. Slander defiles you. Not shellfish. Coveting and envying is what defiles you. Also, broccoli defiles you. Write it down. How could I preach on food and not talk about broccoli? Now let's go to the Apostle Peter. Why don't you guys turn with me? Let's go to Acts chapter 10. We're not done looking, because this is a serious matter, okay?
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.